Hey, y'all, it's Noxie. Thanks for listening to the Detailed Solutions Podcast. And now, a little bit more about one of our sponsors. Alex, have you heard about the Paint Assassins on Facebook?
No, Noxie. What's that?
I'm glad you asked, you wrinkled little booby. Paint Assassins was started by a dude named Jason Bruno to where detailers can find the camaraderie that they're looking for without any of the negative trolling bullshit like other Facebook groups. Not only that, but they can compete with their work weekly, monthly, or yearly to win prizes. Oh, dude, and they make sick merchandise, so you always have fresh gear to wear.
Whoa.
Anyway, y'all want to check it out? Again, it's Paint Assassins on Facebook or Instagram. Check it out.
Welcome to the Detail Solutions Podcast. My name is Alex, and I am your host. Bruno is still out and sick, so we're not doing a What's on Your Mind this week, but we are doing a Fun with Fermani. So, Dave, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Alex. How are you? Thanks for having me on again.
I'm good, man. I love having you on, man. That last episode seemed to twist up some panties. Seemed to open up some ears.
Yeah.
I've talked to a couple of people that have actually taken your advice and have started making money. And it's gotten some pretty good listens. It's second place now, about 100 listens behind the SMA episode. So not too bad. We'll see what this one does. So what do you got for us this week? What's fun with Fermani this month or this week, whatever we're doing?
Let's talk about popular detailing myths or folklore that detailers like to perpetuate and spread across the internet. There's several of them.
Oh, there's probably tons of them.
These are ones that I've taken personal battles with.
Okay.
Defending the opposite for many years now.
Okay.
And I will continue until it doesn't happen anymore. But yeah,
there's always going to be a new crop of detailers that are just going to keep thinking that whatever is whatever.
Yeah, it's pretty silly.
Yeah.
So, you know, hey, it's my two cents. You know, hopefully I can convince some people that the things that I'm referring to as myths are really indeed myths and they approach things.
Right.
So it's actually a little bit educational today, hopefully.
I always love to learn.
Yeah, good. So the first thing is the whole notion, I get a fresh paint job. I get a new, you know, I paint my hood. I paint a panel on my car, a whole entire fresh paint job on the entire car. You see this question, how long do I have to wait?
60 days.
Well, yeah, see, that's what you're probably used to. Other people are 30, 90, 120. It's all right, over the map.
Right away, right? And then I'm glad you're bringing this up because I've always kind of questioned that. But I'll let you say your piece first. But
and this is from years of talking to paint manufacturer reps, body shop managers, owners, and painters. Okay. So this isn't just me pulling it out of the sky.
Right.
So the answer is, if you can touch the paint and you can buff the paint, you can seal the paint. And I say seal, and that means wax, polymer sealant, or a coating.
Mm-hmm.
If any of those products are going to interfere with fresh paint, guess what? You don't want to put those on even a cured part of your car.
Right.
Okay. So this whole thing started from back in the day when we had lacquer paint jobs. And it took ages for lacquer to dry.
Right.
And to outgas and the solvents to escape from the base coat up into the air. You'd park a lacquer car in your garage that had a fender painted, and it would smell and stink up your garage so strong. And that's why they developed the guidelines of waiting X amount of days.
Right.
But the paint has changed so much since then. We don't have those kind of systems anymore. Cars are getting baked. They're base clear. There's even waterborne paints. There's no need to wait.
Yeah.
There's no trapping of any kind of solvents. Now think about this. Say the base coat is still wet. Okay. It hasn't outgassed. If it can make its way through other coats of base coat, other coats of clear coat, multiple, isn't it going to make its way through a little tiny thing of oil, which is silicone oil,
right,
from a wax sealant or even a coating?
Yeah. No, and you're right, you know, and I, you know, this kind of goes back. I've always questioned this going back to when I started detailing, you know, in the mid 90s at the car wash, is the painters are buffing a car and polishing a car, putting wax on the car before it leaves when they paint it. So why can't it come to a detailer or a detail shop, you know, a couple of days after and get done?
I have tests that I'm going to actually be bringing to market soon. But when I worked with 3D, they sold HD Epoxy, mm-hmm. which was a synthetic wax.
Right.
Okay. It was a polymer wax. And their biggest market for 3D was body shop industry all over the world. Okay.
Yeah.
Their system was actually PPG approved, their buffing system.
Oh, okay.
So to complement that, they had HD Epoxy and they sold it a gazillion bottles of this stuff to body shops all over the world and promoted it. And I promoted it as safe for fresh finishes. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. We have one comeback ever that, this wax damaged paint because it didn't, you know, it trapped in solvents. Not possible. Yeah. Never happened.
Right.
Okay. I've had this conversation with Dr. David Gadusi from Optimum. He's a polymer engineer. He helped develop clear coat paint for PPG. And he knows of no comebacks whatsoever from wax or sealants preventing outgassing. That's not even really needed. Okay. Whether you bake it or you don't. So I've got a panel in my garage and I've had this panel, God, probably 8 years. It was painted with PPG paint. They put extra clear coat on it. Okay. And I had them use the slowest drying clear coat that PPG offered.
Uh-huh.
They put extra layers on. Literally, the day after it came out of the booth, I have it all taped off. It's a BMW fender that I had done, white, mind you. I ceramic coated a section, I waxed the section, and I put a sealant on a section. Okay. And then it was never baked. It was in my basement of my Michigan house that is like super humid, super dark. I put it in the closet. So I've created the worst possible environment for wax to dry, or I'm sorry, for fresh paint to dry.
Right.
Dark, wet environments. And I kept putting those products on multiple layers, except the coating, for like 2 months straight. I just layered that stuff on. And I took pictures of it. I still have this. I found it in my garage, in the attic in my garage, dark attic. Okay. I just moved to this house recently. And I'm going to do a whole study on it. No damage to the paint, no discoloration at all, no solvent pops, no nothing.
Right.
So as an interesting test, but again, if somebody says you have to wait this long because my painter, well, I guarantee if you talk to that painter and he says 120 days, the paint rep is probably going to say 60 days or 30 days. So it's all this miscommunication.
Detailers, let me tell you why Slick is the perfect silica spray. Slick has made protecting your car easier than ever before. The amount of depth and gloss that is left behind after using Slick will leave everyone speechless. What is the biggest complaint about silica sprays? It's the streaking and smearing left behind for you to deal with on your car's paint, taking away from the gloss and shine. Slick is the first completely streak-free silica spray on the market, which provides the greatest user experience available. Some of Slick's benefits are the UV inhibitors to add to UV protection, high-quality silica, allowing Slick to work well with ceramic coatings, waxes, and sealants. It can be used as a drying aid, maintenance for coatings, on windows, rims, and it's safe on trim. And no streaking leads to a safer application, because the more streaks, the more you have to wipe, and we all know the more you touch a car, the more damage you incur. So go to the Detail Supply app and pick up some Slick today. And remember, use the code DETAIL15 at checkout to save 15% off your purchases. That's DETAIL15 because you are a Detail Solutions podcast listener, and save 15% off your purchases. And ceramic is, for the most part, most ceramics are breathable anyways. So even if you're putting a ceramic on it, in the paint outgasses, it should outgas through ceramic, which is breathable. I think most people just do it as a, you know, hey, the way I look at it is, what if the painter did a shitty job, you know, and now I put a coating on it? Of course, the painter's going to say the detailer did it. The detailer's going to say the painter did it. And then it becomes a big, you know.
Did what though?
Messed up the paint.
How? What does that paint look like that's messed up by?
Well, I don't know. I've never had an issue, but I'm just saying, like, if the paint.
Nobody's had an issue ever.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, hair on the side of caution, maybe. I mean, I always tell people, listen, for the most part, it should be fine. But, you know, I kind of.
All the time at my client's place, expensive stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm sealing stuff immediately.
Yeah.
And it never sees the light of day.
It's right. Yeah. So it's museum piece.
Not gonna happen.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's the first, you know, myth that I'd like to bust right there. There's no need to wait.
If you can
touch it, you can wax or seal it. Second thing is all this talk, especially with, you know, resellers, manufacturers, that their products, whether it's for the outside or the inside, is fortified with UV inhibitors or UV protectants.
Okay.
There's no magic here. Yes, it might have some kind of additive that can prevent, it can block UV A and B rays. It's very short-lived, just like your suntan lotion, okay?
Right.
The SPF on suntan lotion is that number. Do you know what that number is based on?
Mm-mm.
The time exposure. So every, say, SPF 50, every 50 minutes, it's not exactly that. You're supposed to reapply. So it's very short-lived.
Gotcha.
You're telling me it's not stable. So you're telling me that a spray wax or a sealant or a coating or a 303 protectant that you put on your dashboard is going to block out UV A and B? Not possible.
Right.
And it might for a few minutes, but you'd have to be putting that stuff on every day in, day out. And again, is it needed? No. The whole mindset of, this interior needs to be protected from the sun. Well, glass blocks out like 99.9% of UV rays. Okay. That's why you'll never get sunburned and you're driving in your car.
Right.
Okay. I've talked to people in the manufacturing sector of the auto industry, because I'm in Detroit. Interiors are filled now with with anti-aging chemicals and sunblockers naturally in them.
Right.
So again, protecting them is ridiculous. Yet all these companies market UV this, UV that. It's totally false. And when I see a company marketing UV, it's a big no-no for me. Back in the day, there was such a big discussion online because 303 touted that their product offers UV protection. Well, I said, show me the documentation, proving this claim.
Yeah.
And nobody could do anything. I actually called 303 and asked them for it. And they had no such documentation. Yet they perpetuate this myth that what they're selling, if you apply it, is going to block out, UV. It's fake.
Marketing.
But people buy into that.
Yeah.
People also buy into
the graphene. Yeah.
It's all bullshit. and your interior, you don't need to protect your interior. You come in from Florida. You don't need to protect your interior from sun. Okay. Sun is not going to degrade it.
Yeah.
You need to protect it from heat. Heat is what damages your interior. Okay. That's the biggest thing.
That and wear, sliding in and out of it.
Of course.
Yeah.
Oils from your skin, acids.
Yeah.
So those are two. The third one, and I've loved conversations about this. Dawn dishwashing detergent is not safe for washing cars. It's going to eat up your seals. It's going to dry rot out all your plastic. It's going to start making your paint crack because of the sheeting properties that are built into it. So when I was doing my coating test on a company car I did years ago, I washed for 2 years straight when I was in Florida, every week with Dawn dishwashing detergent. For 2 years straight, every week, and documented it in time. The car was not damaged in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
And to this day, I still use Dawn dishwashing detergent to wash certain cars sometimes. And I'll tell you why. Dawn, it doesn't allow things to be water. It actually sheets it. So again, especially somebody in Florida, what's your enemy when you're washing a car?
Sun.
Water spot. Yeah. Water spot. Yeah. Sun and water spots. Yeah. So you use something like Dawn. You can let it dry on the surface so you don't have to wash one panel, rinse it off, wash another panel, rinse it off like you do traditional car wash soaps.
Right.
You leave this stuff on. It's not going to interfere with any kind of, sun, magnifying it or anything. It doesn't bead water. And then at the end, you rinse it off. And guess what? There's no beading. It's all going to sheet. So again, less water spots.
Right.
So a lot of times after I'm done, polishing a car to get the dust off it, I'll hand wash a car. I use Dawn. Hey, there's nothing in it that's going to interfere with the wax sealant or coating that you're going to use. But again, I've been doing it for 14 years now.
Yeah.
Ceramic cars over Dawn. Yeah. I've never had a problem. Okay. So it's never going to damage anything on your exterior, your seals, your paint, especially. There's a guy online the other day was arguing with me about don't use Dawn. Dawn is for dishes.
Was that the meme? It was like gold. It was like gold class. And then it was like Dawn, like a picture of each. And it was like,
it was a different one.
I saw one the other day that was like, I guess it wasn't a meme or whatever, but it was like a side by side. It was like, one's made for cars and one's not made for cars. And it was like Meguiar's Gold Class and then Dawn.
Yeah. But then you say, it's safe for the ducks and to remove the oil spills on ducks. It's an endless funnel of arguments. But bottom line, Dawn does not hurt your paint or interfere with anything.
Right. When I first met Brian Guy, he told me he had two soaps in his shop. Dawn and baby shampoo. That was all he used.
Amen.
Said Dawn. He said he would use Dawn on everything coming in because it would take all the grease, the grime, the whatever, strip it right down, you know, before he's getting ready to do a correction and, you know, wax or coating or whatever. And then he would use baby shampoo on the stuff that he had already done just as, because it's pH neutral, you know, and safe.
McGuire used to make a car wash soap. It was 00. It was number 00, and it had no additives in it at all.
Yeah.
And that was good too. You speaking of car wash soaps, what's crazy is you see these people selling, what are they, like 16-ounce bottles of soap for like $20. Some of these high-end brands that market to the consumer crowd.
The cult that follows them.
Yes. $20 for a 16-ounce bottle of soap, and they've got 30 different kinds of scents and stuff, you know, who it is. You can get that same stuff in a bottle from like a bulk company, like I don't mean to promote 3D, but you can get it for like $6.
Yeah.
You know, for what you're spending for a 16-ounce bottle of that high-end stuff, which really isn't high-end, you can buy a whole gallon of like a normal wash.
I'll go one better. I think I bought a 5-gallon of car wash soap from my buddy at Simon Eyes for, I think I paid $40 for a 5-gallon.
I used to pay $210 for a drum of non-wash and wax, just,
stuff. Yeah. This stuff is Simon Eyes's, I believe it's called Handshake. So it's the stuff that's meant to go through the foamers and give extra foam. So obviously when you put it in a foam gun, you know, it makes extra foam. But at $40 for a 5-gallon, I fill my foam cannon container full. It's 100% so.
I know, it's great. You never look back.
So here, while we're talking about that, I don't know if you have this on your list, but here's a myth I want to ask you about, because somebody told me before, or mentioned before, and it made sense. Why do you dilute your soap in your foam cannon container if it's already getting water shot through it as it's being sucked up?
Well, I'm going to be honest. Yeah. I don't foam cars.
Okay.
Never have. Probably, knock on wood, never will. Okay. I don't see it. I use a power washer. And I don't need to let soap sit on my car and degrade the wax or sealant any longer than it needs to. Right. I don't see a benefit in foaming. It looks great. Your neighbors are going to be jealous of you.
Yeah.
Your customer is probably going to be super happy because it's, it's filled with thick soap. But I don't have any for
it. It only works for pictures and videos, right?
That's
what I tell my clients when they ask me after I do a car, what should I wash with? And I grab my bottle of baby shampoo and I said, just go buy a bottle of baby shampoo. It's super cheap. And like buy the Publix brand. It's even cheaper than the Johnson & Johnson. It's the same stuff. And they're like, really? And I'm like, it's pH neutral. Like, what do you need suds for? Like, people need to see suds to think it's soap. This is my impression, right? They need to see suds to think that it's soap. But soap doesn't really need suds.
Hey there, podcasters. What if I told you that there was a product out there that would knock out multiple detailing products? Not only is it the ultimate time and money saver, but produces amazing results and is versatile on almost every substrate. It can also be used in your home or commercial businesses. Gen KO is an all-around multi-cleaner capable of removing light to moderate water spots, grease, and grime. It's safe on surfaces including windows, door jams, paint, mat, PPF and vinyl, rubber moldings, plastic trim, and ceramic coated surfaces. My name is Jennifer Turcotte, and after 22 years in the detailing industry, I'm so proud to have a product that is helping my fellow detailers around the world and others. I've tested Gen KO for more than 2 years before the final ready-to-use product was produced. I'm beyond happy when people reach out and tell me how much the Gen KO helped them, and it can help you too. To get your own, you can contact me directly or go to www.igocoatingsusa.com, contact your local IGL distributor or installer, and pick your bottle up today. And don't forget to share your experience on social media using the hashtag GenKOMix.
Yeah, if it's slippery and it rinses off, doesn't leave anything behind, it's going to leave a film. Hey, more power to you.
Yeah.
technically you can wash with Dawn. You know, are you going to want to? Probably not. I mean, for the price of that, you can get a car wash soap like Gold Class or something decent. Have something that smells good at least. One thing I always wanted to have Chunch develop was a car wash soap that left your car smelling good on the outside. How great would it be to walk up to your car and it smells like cherries or something?
I mean, I guess. You know, but then you hop inside and it smells like sweat and farts and Cheetos.
Yeah. Well, let's throw some in there and it'll offset.
Right.
But it couldn't be done because, you know, you're rinsing the stuff off. So
yeah.
Next thing is leather, you know, leather on your interior needs to be conditioned and needs to be fed. You know, unless you're doing some super high-end pigmented leather, aniline leather, you're not really touching leather. We all know this.
Right.
Yet how many people do we see, hey, what should I put on my leather? Yeah. Well, there's already so many different layers on top of your leather, you're really not ever touching your leather.
Yeah. I mean, everything now, even, you know, quote unquote high-end Mercedes or BMWs, they all come with that sheen on them, that protectant that's already on it. So,
it's a urethane coating.
Yeah. Yeah.
So basically what you have is a piece of substrate. It could be leather, it could be plastic, whatever the heck it is.
Right.
They don't make blue cows. Okay. Yeah. And then it gets painted or it gets vat dyed. And then they, you know, for the color, and then they paint a clear, you know, coating on it, just like your paint. It's the same thing as your paint.
Yeah.
Substrate, base, clear, and that's it.
Right.
So, there's no need. The biggest thing you can do, and I tell my customers, keep your interior clean.
Yeah.
Have a towel. When you're done, you know, washing your car, rinse out one of your towels, get it wet, you know, just totally wring it out and wipe your interior down.
Yeah.
If you wipe your interior down as much as you wash the outside of your car, it'll never need anything on it. So that's the biggest thing there. Getting your sweat off, getting your oils off, your dye from your clothes and stuff. So yet we see so many people asking, what do I put on my interior?
Yeah.
And there's ceramic coatings that can help, you know, with rubbing and stuff like that, that put a little barrier there. But I don't, you know, from a pure standpoint, you need nothing. Unless you're talking about old Connelly leather or, you know, Ferraris and stuff like that. Yeah, it's totally animal altogether.
King Ranch. Yeah.
Yeah. The only benefit to putting a conditioner on a coated seat is for the feel and the smell. That's it.
Yeah.
When you put it on, it feels soft and smooth and supple. Okay. It's tempered. It's just silicone oil that you're putting on a seat or wax.
Right. Right.
It attracts more dirt because it's sticky, you know, silicone. It's a big, you've seen silicone in its rawest form. It's a big gob of like Vaseline.
Yeah.
So you're putting that on your seat basically in a smaller amount, and it pulls dirt, pulls color, pulls, you know, stuff from your clothes. The benefit is the smell and the feel, but again, it can be counterproductive.
Right.
And if you have some dry looking surfaces, you can use it to condition it to make it look darker.
Yeah.
Like center consoles that are, you know, not looking as good as they used to. You can use it to darken it, but not something that you're sitting on or touching.
Right.
Another thing is wax. People think that paint needs to be waxed or sealed. You're just making it so you're able to clean it easier and maintain it. But I mean, I get these cars that have been, you know, stored away for 30 years, sometimes 40 years, the paint's perfect on them, like condition.
Right. The entire paint. Yeah.
These are, some of these cars have 15, 20,000 miles, so they've been driven. They've seen the outside.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that car that sat in the Arizona desert for 20 years. I'm not saying that.
Right, right.
I doubt even if you waxed it once a month, that's going to even prevent it from failing anyways in that scenario.
Yeah. And I talked to a guy who had a paint shop years ago about it. And he was telling me that, you know, and this is 10 plus years ago or whatever, so paint might have changed by now. But he was telling me that all paints are manufactured with a warranty for 5 years. And if at any time in that 5 years, the paint, you know, fades out, clear coat damage, any of that stuff, the manufacturer, you know, of the paint will pay to have it done again. So he was telling me that's why a lot of times you don't have to wax a car or don't need to do anything, because it'll last, you know, and this is like being out in the sun, daily driving, you know, all that stuff. You got any thoughts on that?
5 year warranty is worth so much more money now, huh?
Yeah.
The warranty basically gets the same thing that the manufacturer's already hedging the bet on.
Right. Right. And that's my feeling of why dealerships don't really get into or don't care much about the ceramic. They'll just throw a Teflon coating on there or a polymer sealant or whatever with a warranty, because they know that if the paint gets damaged in that time, they can just go back to the manufacturer. So they're still not out of pocket. The manufacturer is going to fix the car.
A lot of times when you have a paint problem and you take it to the dealership body shop for a warranty repair under the paint warranty, if they know that you have a ceramic coating on there, that's enough for them to void that warranty claim. So it can cause more harm than good by claiming that you have a, you know, coating on your car.
Right, right.
So this next thing is, I know we've talked about it before, and it's still one of my little, you know, sticklers is, do you need to buff before PPF? I know you had your experience at one time.
It was one car. I mean, you know, no, I don't, I agree with you. I don't think you need to, unless the car is super hammered. And in which case, why are you putting PPF on a car that's that damaged?
Maybe they think, well, that's actually, it's a good idea. Like, if you're hard on paint, and you're sick and tired of the way it looks, you PPF it and it's like, okay, I can still be hard on paint. It's going to look great though.
Right. Yeah.
I bet if you went to the PPF group and you asked, if you did a poll, how many people buff before they put PPF on, I bet it'd be all over the map.
Yeah, it would be. Because the true PPF only guys are going to say no. The guys that are detailers are going to say yes. And then you probably have a few people in between.
Sure. Yeah, exactly.
Listen, I do it, but I don't even go, like, if I'm doing a full front end, like the RS5 that's in this week, I just did a polish on it. And just because, I mean, I've got to do the door. So I'm going to overlap into the fender. So, you know what, just knock the fender out, buzz over the hood real quick. Just, you know, just in case. For me, it's more of like, at least hit it with a polish to make the paint pop. So when you're putting the PPF over it, it'll just pop more. And I know you're going to say, well, the PPF's got enough pop to it, and it does, but I don't know, man. It's just me. And I do it to do it. It doesn't take that much more time for me.
So if I'm charging somebody, say, you know, I'm doing a correction and a coating and it's $4,000.
Right.
Okay. If I know that they're going to get PPF, if they say, oh, you know what, what about PPF? And if they're going to get, you know, a front end done with some rockers and maybe behind the bumper, probably not behind the bumper because you got to still tape off.
Yeah.
If I'm not having to buff sections, I give them a discount.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't, you know, there's no need, you know, in charging you full price if I'm not buffing all these panels because you're getting PPF. Well, right. Don't you need to do it before? No. And I tell them. So yeah, that's one of those things that
I don't know. I see your point, but I just do it anyways. I think it's just part of my, like, I'm one of those, like, I'm the type of person that, like, I have to do some things certain ways. Otherwise it really throws me off. And I'm not going to say like OCD, because I don't need to, like, you know, flip a light switch 18 billion times or like things like that. But when I have a system, like, I have to do that system otherwise. So if I'm going to do a car, it like throws my brain off if I'm like, okay, I'm just going to start from the doors and work backwards and I'm not going to touch the front end. Like, it's, you know, I don't know. It just does something to me. So at least if I just hit it with a quick polish, I feel good about it. And then I can feel like I did my system and I'm good.
Polish the whole car before you do it?
Yeah.
So when you're putting PPF on a fender, aren't you squeegeeing into the door that you just polished, creating marring?
Shut up. I don't want to talk to you anymore.
It's kind of productive. If you had a shop with a half a dozen, you know, people doing PPF, would you
listen, be in? I get your point. But like I said, I just have a system. I have to do it. I have to do the system. Otherwise, it I don't feel right.
I got you. That's fine. Another thing is that's kind of hyped up is something that's body shop safe.
Okay.
So the biggest thing that a body shop has to worry about with detail chemicals is dust. Airborne silicone. Okay. If you get that solvent-based silicone dressing and you spray it up in the air.
Okay. It just missed everywhere.
Yeah. But okay, think about this. It's silicone. It's heavy.
It doesn't come off easy. Makes more work. Yeah.
Well, yes. But you also have to think, if you sprayed it up in the air, even if you had fans moving around, again, it's silicone based. So it's not like it's asbestos and it can stay airborne for 48 hours.
Right.
It's eventually going to fall within a few moments.
Right.
You know, seconds, minutes at most. So with it being airborne, I don't think there's any product that a detailer uses that's going to cause harm in a body shop, detail shop.
Right.
A body shop that has a detail shop. Yeah, if that detail shop is right next to the paint prep area, stuff can get airborne. It can travel, you know, several feet and land on a panel.
Right.
So that's the big thing. Is it going to go in the air and get sucked in the paint booth when the guy's painting a car? No, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Okay. So you can still sell those tire dressings or use those tire dressings at body shops, but maybe you're not going to spray it on. You're going to dress it on. You're going to wipe it on. Okay. So this whole thing with body shop safe dressings and products, again, another myth to sell to body shops.
Right.
Yeah, they may not have as much silicone or different silicone. Some may not have silicone at all. But any product can be used in a body shop.
Right.
As long as care is given.
So aren't most body shop safe compounds and polishes more of a water-based, gives you more working time because it's not dusting or not, doesn't have the silicone to dust, which...
Pretty much every polishing compound now is water-based.
Right. So, I mean, I get, like, when you have a company like 3D, because when I use 3D, the company here, or the distribution here in Orlando is a body shop supply center. And so they distribute 3D because they sell it to a lot of body shops. But for a detail shop, And again, I'm kind of throwing it out there for whatever. Is that a deal breaker? Do you need a body shop safe compound or polish in a detail shop only?
No, there's no need.
Right.
Is that still something airborne? But
right.
There's nothing harmful in that product.
Yeah.
That even got airborne, it's going to interrupt with anything. It's not going to land on targeting prep for paint and cause a problem.
Right.
Do you remember when there was the HD line and 3D? Okay. Mm-hmm. There was HD and 3D.
Yeah. Yeah. It was cut and polish and then epoxy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So now they've merged everything.
Yeah.
To basically green bottles, body shop line. Right. It's all the same stuff.
Yeah.
Just marketed towards the body shops versus the consumer.
Right.
Not much different than those bottles. So making it body shop safe is really just a great way to sell directly to body shop.
I'll tell you what, I don't look at body shop safe. I don't think that it doesn't affect me in any way because I'm not in a body shop. So I don't care. I just,
if you're in a body shop, you shouldn't care either.
Right. I just want something that's going to work.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Whether it's body shop safe or not, but there's so many products that, you know, that a benefit that they market is it's body shop safe. Well, geez, every product is.
Yeah.
Wax is body shop safe.
Right.
Okay. But you're not going to wax a panel that is getting painted. Okay.
Yeah.
But if you did, what are you going to do before you paint that panel? You're going to sand it off.
Right? Yeah.
Sand down. Yeah. Sanding all that crap off.
Yeah.
Okay. So again, not a benefit. I have 10 of these things and then we can close this up as far as these.
Yeah. I mean, keep going. I don't remember when we started, but I think we're 40, 45 minutes in or so. I don't know. Somewhere around like half an hour in.
So many people ask, what should I use on my dirty wheels? And so many people are on the whole iron remover, you know, bandwagon that's what you should be using on dirty wheels. I mean, it's removing iron. It's not removing
dirt. Well, that's what Barry talked about in the big three one. He was talking about how it blows him away that everybody wants. And he said it's fine because he'll sell iron to everybody. It's way more expensive. But yeah, he was talking about that. Like everybody wants to spray the iron on first and then try to clean the wheels. You're not cleaning the dirt.
You're either going to use a highly alkaline product or a highly acidic product.
Listen, I can say that I was young and stupid, not knowing any better when I started out, that somebody showed me an iron product and I was like, whoa, and I sprayed iron on everything and then realized like, I could use a wheel cleaner to clean it first and then not using as much iron X.
I mean, yes, it can dislodge and dissolve iron deposits. Okay, it can do that. We know that.
Yeah.
And that can be on wheels. We get that. But it's not what I'm going to reach for when I'm doing weekly maintenance on my wheels.
Right. Right. Or tires. Why are you spraying tires?
I see so many people spraying that crap all over their tires too. Like, what the hell are you thinking? You know, so.
Oh man, give me something, you know, cheap. That's a wheel and tire cleaner. I'm not, you know, something like a Chocolate Thunder. You could buy a gallon of for like $20 or whatever.
My favorite is Auto Magic Magnificent.
Okay.
You do that stuff 1 to 3. You spray it on the tires and it turns it instantly brown, gushing out brown out of the tires.
Nice.
Yeah.
Marty's got a good one with HyperClean that I've been using lately called Wheel, and it's 32 ounces makes a 5 gallon, and it's like $25 for 32 ounces.
That's awesome.
And you spray it on the wheels, spray it on the tires. It'll, you know, you can see it start to, you know, everything turn brown, start to heat up and everything. And then you could power wash it off. Or, depending on, you know, I'll get the wheel woolly out, I'll get the brush and all that stuff. But that one so far has been a really good one for me. And again, $25 to make 5 gallons. Yeah.
Okay. I think one of those guys that probably.
And I'll throw the extra plug in for Marty. If you use code DETAIL15 at the Detail Supply app, you save 15% too.
I got to try. I definitely got to look into his line. For sure. Marty's a good guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 9. Mold removal without disassembling the interior. So many people I see showing off, you know, a mold job that they did, or so many people saying, hey, I have mold in this car coming up that I'm about to detail. What do you recommend? And I was an insurance adjuster for 10 years. Most of those years was in South Florida.
Okay.
Huge mold problem in South Florida.
Yeah.
And because of my detailing background, I was always the one that they would assign these claims so I could go inspect them.
Right.
When there's water claims, when there's flood claims, mold claims, they're all, you know, claims under your insurance that you can, you know, get coverage on. And I would work hand in hand with body shops, service departments, you know, showing them and telling them what they need to do. And it always involved disassembly. When mold just doesn't show up overnight.
Yeah.
You begin to grow. You can continue to drive it as it's, you know, drive this car as it's, you know, growing mold. Then what? Then you've got it in your ventilation system. You're never going to clean that by not removing it.
Right.
You can't put a black light in there. You can't put ozone in there that's going to clean it effectively, especially with somebody that has a mold allergy.
Right.
Like my family.
Yeah.
When you have a mold, any kind of, you know, existence of mold inside of a car, it's a much bigger problem than you can see. It's deep into the fabric. It can be in your headliner. It can be into the foam in your seats. Everything needs to be completely disassembled.
Right.
If it's a car that's, you know, under 10 grand, it's most likely going to be a total loss. I'm going to tell you that.
Yeah.
You know, just due to the disassembly. One thing that we have behind our dashboards on the cowl is sound deadening mats.
Right.
And that stuff is like a sponge.
Yep.
It's right sitting right next to your ventilation system. It's blowing it onto that mat and it's sucking it in there and reincarnated in your rest of your cabin. So again, you have to take the dashboard out. You have to take all that stuff out. It's a huge undertaking.
Yeah.
Just doing a topical cleanup is not doing a justice, doing any justice to the car or the customer. And quite honestly, your business, because you're going to end up getting sued for getting somebody sick.
Exactly. one of my buddies, Bill, we had him on a while back. He's in the medical waste field, but he's an older guy. He does some detailing on the part, you know, part-time or whatever. I was using chlorine dioxide tablets before I met Bill. But Bill was the one that really kind of taught me like why they work better than ozone, you know, how correct way to use them and everything. But the one thing that Bill always told me is, you know, especially when I've got a customer that comes in that, you know, left the windows down and it got rained in, or they spilled milk or this or that, you know, and they've got an odor and we're trying to get rid of it. And the one thing Bill always told me is a lot of times once it, you know, is spilled into the carpets, you know, you're not, your extractor isn't going to go through the carpet, go through the padding to get it sitting underneath. You know, and a lot of times it is just like what you said with, you know, and spills can create mold or mildew, things like that, or water damage from leaving your windows down. It is, you know, the correct way is to pull the seats out, pull the carpet up, attack it at the problem, and then put everything back in. And he was the one who really kind of, you know, helped me understand that a lot more than just, you know, the typical detailer, like, oh, well, I'll just hot water extract it and, you know, we'll shoot water in and suck water out. And
the most important thing you can do when you're doing a water or mold cleaning on a car is determining and proving cause and origin of the water.
Yeah.
Okay. It could come from a plug not being in the floorboard. It could be from a seal in a window. It could be a lot of things.
It could be from a mechanic putting a screwdriver in the AC drain thing. So when he's working underneath the car, the AC isn't dripping water on the engine, making it hot, dripping on him. And then when you turn your AC on and drive around for a couple of days and it floods your floorboard, because that happened at the car wash.
Oh, absolutely. The green holes and stuff.
Yeah.
Early S-Class Mercedes, they have these drain holes on the cowl under the wiper.
Yep.
And they get plugged up all the time with debris.
Yeah.
Manufactured.
Same thing for sunroofs. Sunroofs always have a drain that usually runs down the A-pillars, and a lot of times those will get clogged, and then it leaks. That's how your sunroof ends up leaking.
Sure. So before you even start cleaning anything, you have to A, disassemble, and B, find cause and origin. Yeah. And a lot of times you have to do a water test to see where that water's coming in from.
Right.
But again, it's like, you ever have a car that leaks oil and it left that big, huge stain that's maybe 6 inches in diameter? It's probably from 2 drips of oil.
Yeah.
One little drip can expand so big, just like water in your car. It can really cause some havoc.
Yeah, I've gotten to the point on things like that. I turn them down because first, I don't want to disassemble a car. I don't want to be held reliable. God forbid, you know, even if I put everything back right, the client gets in an accident, you know, seat comes, you know, breaks free or something like that. They're gonna be like, oh, well, the detail guy had it, you know, took everything apart. So I don't do it for that reason. The second reason is that's just too much. I'm not into that type of work. I'm not into, you know, charging somebody a couple $100 to do a interior cleaner mold remover, because that's all they're really wanting to pay, and, you know, spending hours ripping a car out and putting it back together.
Well, unfortunately, we did a lot of work. And fortunately, we did a lot of work for dealerships. Mm-hmm. And their service departments are filled with water claims all the time. So I'll instruct them on a regular basis to, okay, completely gut this car.
Yeah.
I'll take the carpet. I'll try to save it. Probably not going to save it anyways, because the insurance company wants you to save the carpet.
Right.
But then once you get it completely gutted and you figured out where it is, where the water's coming in from, and you fixed it, I'll send my guys over. We'll completely, you know, remediate all any kind of mold or moisture in the car, antimicrobial cleaners, and go to town with it completely stripped out.
Right.
And all the panels that you've taken out, we'll clean those separately. So that's the best way to do it.
Yeah, and see, in a situation like that where you can have a mechanic pull everything out for you and put it back in correctly, yeah, but Alex over here with a 10 millimeter socket trying to, you know, rip seats.
I don't want to do it either.
Yeah.
You know, too much liability. You're not a mechanic.
Yeah, gotcha. I tell people, listen, that seat takes a 10 millimeter socket to take it out, and unfortunately, I've lost mine.
Okay, this last one that is a great way to end it is the whole debacle and debate that HD speed or 3D speed has fillers.
Okay.
You know, people say, okay, what's the difference between, you know, their 3D one and, you know, HD speed? A lot of people say, oh, HD speed has fillers. If you want, do you want to fill the defects or do you want to correct them? You know, I'm intimately close with this product. A, right. I helped develop it. I helped sell it. And I've used probably more of that product in my detail shop than probably any other detail shop around. Okay. So I know it very well. Does it fill? Okay. It's not going to fill a swirl or a scratch. You're not going to just see all these scratches come back a week later or a month right. later or one. Okay. But because you're using a wax, you're putting wax on the surface, it's going to leave an amplified or an extra gloss appearance to it. It's going to leave an oily finish versus right. non-oily. So it can fill almost as much as if you put a wax on a surface.
Okay.
Not like anything else beyond that. If you are seeing defects return with HD speed, you're using it incorrectly. You're short-stepping it or short-cycling the product. There's abrasives in there.
Yeah.
Those abrasives will remove paint. So without filling, obviously.
Right.
I remember at SEMA, I used to be the person demoing HD speed for, you know, many years. And I would hand sand a hood with 3,000 grit.
Okay.
Hand sand it. Left some pretty good marks in there. And literally with a soft finishing pad with HD speed, if I sat in a spot for 10 seconds, it would completely remove every single defect.
Right. And I remember Auto Geek. Yeah. Auto Geek did a video with it was with Punch, because I couldn't remember if it was with Tantra. I couldn't remember if it was with him or the detail guy, like the not Don, like the heavy set Spanish looking guy
that,
did all their detail stuff or whatever. I can't remember which one, but they did a, because they said, hey, you know, listen, there's a lot of talk that this has fillers in it. And Tosh's like, no, they do a spot, they wipe it down, you know, none of the swirls, none of the scratches came back. No, I remember that video. I never had any issues really with 3D speed, other than I felt like on darker color cars, it left an oily haze. That then I would have to like go back over to get out, which I kind of felt was like, you know, okay, well, this sucks because I'm supposed to be doing a one step here. Now I'm doing a two step. 505, which I know was same principles, HD speed, but with the, instead of the HD line, it had the AAT line. I never had any issues with that on darker color cars. So I just switched from speed to 505. My one biggest gripe with speed is all these detailers, and I know that there's a few locally here in Orlando that will do HD speed as a one step and then throw a ceramic coating over it and tell their client it's going to last for 5 years.
That's bad.
Yeah. That's bad. Yeah. That's my only gripe with speed, is that detailers are using it and then putting a coating over it, and they don't understand that no amount of, and this is what Don told me personally when he was still working for 3D Speed, no amount of panel wipe is going to take that Montan wax off for you to put a ceramic coating on it. But no, I think it's a good product. And listen, you know, there's a certain devil in Georgia that once told me that if it comes in a bottle, it fills. So
sure, anything can fill. Right. Absolutely. The problem you said you were experiencing before you switched over to the 3D version, just like wax, think about it. When you're waxing a car, remember those days?
Yeah.
If you had a panel that was hard to come off or leaving, you know, oily residue behind, A, you put it on too thick, or B, you took it off too early.
Probably. And again, this is early in my paint correction career. I mean, if I went back and probably use it now, I'm 5 years wiser, you know.
Well, and another thing with it, it's a polymer, right?
Yeah.
So when you use a polymer paint sealant on a car, do you wipe it on and wipe it off? No, you let it crustly.
Yeah, that's it.
So when at our shop or anytime I'm using HD speed, I will do the entire car. Not wipe it off. And I wipe it off at the end. I treat it like a sealant. And another trick is, have you ever worked a polish and you're done with your polishing cycle? But you ever try it next time, turn it down to the lowest speed, like speed one, and make a pass. You notice how much it just redistributed all that product on the surface? You ever seen that before?
No, I've never tried it before.
So next time you're polishing a car.
Okay.
You've done your passes, you're done. You're probably polishing at two or three, whatever.
Yeah, I polish at two.
Crank it down to one. Okay. Make a slow pass and see how much more product is loosening from that pad and onto the surface getting deposited. Same thing with speed. I tell people at the end, or any all-in-one, crank the speed down on the last pass and you're depositing more material on the surface.
Okay.
So you're putting more product on, more is going to stick to it, more is going to cross-link. So when you wipe it off to the end, you're going to have a longer lasting, you know, protection on that. Some people say, oh, it only lasts a couple of weeks. Again, I think there's things that can increase that too.
Yeah.
I'm not even a rep anymore, so I'm just doing it on the kindness of my heart.
Yeah.
So there's my 10 myths.
I think those are some good myths. I think those are some good myths. I like those. Yeah. I don't think I have any other than detailers think they're gods.
That's the, our next episode.
Okay.
Yes. Detailers have egos. I'm an egomaniac. I will admit that right now. I am a huge egomaniac.
Yeah.
But would you say that you're an egomaniac?
Yes and no. There's certain times that I think that I'm better than I probably am. What I think brings me back down to earth a lot of times is, you know, my time at the car wash managing my biggest two prima donna or egos were detailers and service writers, which I was both at one time or another. So I think seeing that from, or having to manage that, having to manage those egos in the detail shop and those egos in the service writing, I think is stuck with me. And I still think detailers and service writers are prima donnas and think that they're better than everybody. So I think it kind of keeps me from feeling that type of way. I also, and Bruno gets on me all the time, is I'm not as confident in my work as I probably should be. So I don't, you know, walk around with my chest bowed out or an ego with my work, because listen, I mean, I trained a 16-year-old girl at the car wash to move a Rupes machine up and down and back and forth, and her panel looked just as good as my panel. So what's, you know, like, why do I need to have an ego about doing the same thing that everybody else is doing and we're all making paint shiny?
Good question. Why are we though?
I don't know.
Post after shots?
Yeah.
That's ego.
It is. It is. And that's why I said yes and no, because I do. And I do it to, you know, have that pat on the back, or to let people know that, you know, Noxie's wrong. I'm not a complete turd.
Do you know any detailers that are not ego driven? Think long and hard.
No, I don't think so. Because even the guys that I know that you could say, okay, they're probably not ego driven because they're not posting a lot. They're not, you know, beating their chest and things like that. They still have a little bit of some kind of ego to them.
Yeah, we'll talk about this another time.
Yeah.
I like that. Could be a whole
episode. Yeah. No, I like that. All right. Well, I think we're good for time. It gives me a little bit of time to put this together. Yeah. Listen, I love these Fun with Fermanis. I hope everybody else is loving them too. I mean, by the numbers of the first one.
Your input, if so.
Yeah, no. The numbers on the first one were, you know, pretty good. So it leads me to believe that people are listening. So like I said, I mean, I'd like to do, you know, at least one a month with you, depending on whatever. So I appreciate you, you know, being a part of this and giving me another avenue for people to kind of get a different feel on, you know, again, like I said, the first time around, not everybody has an opportunity to reach out to guys like you and pick their brains and things like that. So, you know, I think this gives them that avenue at least. Yeah.
So, yeah. Awesome. Appreciate it.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Well, I'll shout at you later.
Hey, have a great night.
Yes, sir. You too. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye. Yep. Bye.